Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 27 of the Big Apple Sports Media Podcast. I'm Anthony Evangelista. As always, I'm here with Kyle Keegan. How are you today, Kyle?
I'm relieved. I'm very relieved. We have a lot to talk about today. I don't think we've ever had this much news happen in like the span of like 3 days for like New York sports. It's actually nuts how much has happened.
Yeah, and, so we're going to go hitting on all four pro sports. We're going to go NBA, NFL, MLB, NHL. We've got everything to talk about today. Very exciting, very depressing. We got all emotions encompassed.
Oh, yeah. We're going to be hidden everywhere today. Like, we're going to be so all over the place. We're going to try to go in, like, chronological order from what's happened most recently to, yeah.
We couldn't help but notice, Mark, you were tech.
What is that? Okay. Sorry. I was on MLB.com.
Okay.
Anyways.
So let's start with the most recent thing. DJ LeMahieu re-signed by the Yankees. What was it? 6 years, $90 million.
Yes.
That's a very solid contract for him. That's only going up, what, $3 million? He was being paid $12 million before. Now it's $15 million. I think that he's caught a break there, especially with everything going on. They weren't too sure if they were going to actually get him back. So I'm sure you're very relieved as a Yankee fan.
Yeah. I have some thoughts on it. I feel a little bit better about the offseason as a whole now that he's back. I feel like we always kind of knew DJ would most likely be back anyway. In the back of our hearts, even though, like, we were all kind of freaking out about it. I was freaking out about it, I'll be honest. I had no idea what they were doing. I wish it didn't take this long. I wish it wasn't the middle of January because it feels like I'm happy, but the Yankees still pissed away a big part of the offseason already just because they were focused on DJ LeMahieu, which is fine because they got it done, and they got it done at a good deal. They got it done at a deal that's under $100 million, which I'm surprised. I thought they'd have to go up to $100 million. 6 years is a year or two more than I thought they'd have to go. But when you're only paying $15 million a year, that helps them with the salary, with the luxury tax, which we all know Hal loves. And, you know, it's only, like you mentioned, $3 million more per year than they were already paying for him. Now, 6 years for a 32-year-old second baseman, make what you want about that. You're not going to be complaining if the Yankees win a championship in those 6 years. I promise you. I promise you won't be complaining. And people saying like, oh, have fun paying Gerrit Cole, Giancarlo Stanton, and DJ LeMahieu in their age 38 seasons. Like, yeah, the Yankees are able to handle that because they're a big market team. You know, the Mets are going to be able to sign big contracts like that too. Like, it's just the Yankees can afford to make these mistakes. And no one's going to be complaining if they end up winning. Now, to go along with that, the Yankees can't stop now. They have to go after starting pitching. They have to get a few more arms. Otherwise, they will not compete. Luis Severino, hopefully he comes back healthy next year, but I don't think he's a number two starter. I mean, he hasn't pitched a full season since 2018. I don't know if we can really count on that. And then Gerrit Cole is Gerrit Cole. We all know that. But then after that, you got Devi Garcia, Clark Schmidt, Jordan Montgomery. A lot of question marks there. A lot of young players. We don't know how they're going to develop. They've shown flashes of brilliance, but not perfect, not enough to contend. So you'd love to see them get a Kluber, re-sign a Tanaka, re-sign a Paxton. I don't know about that. I don't know what the likelihood of any of those three things happening are, but that would be fantastic. They do need to get a starting pitcher. If they could trade for Luis Castillo, that would be incredible. I don't know if that's the case. And even if they do that, I'd like to see them trade for one at the deadline as well. There's a lot of big names that are going to be free agent pitchers in the 2022 market. A lot of old veteran guys like a Greinke, like a Verlander, like a Scherzer. I don't know what the likelihood they would trade for any of those big caliber names are or if any of those teams would want to make deals with the Yankees, but you never know. So, that's my rant on it. I'm happy. I'm not satisfied. I'm relieved. There's more work to do. There's more.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you pretty much hit on all the points. The Yankees right now have a much better outlook on this offseason. This was a very big part that, I mean, everyone was kind of expecting it, but at the same time, there were still some question marks on whether or not LeMahieu would return. I mean, as a Met fan, I'm looking at this. I think it would have been very funny to see a reaction if LeMahieu didn't end up on the Yankees. But you know what? I'm happy for you. But I think that, I don't know. LeMahieu is a very solid part of the Yankees team. Like you said, 6 year contract for a 32-year-old is something questionable, but it's going to be 100% worth it if you're able to go out and the Yankees are able to go out and actually win.
Acting like $15 million a year is like some ridiculous amount. Like if you're upset about this and you're a Yankees fan, you're either A, an idiot, or B, overreacting. It's a good team friendly deal that works for the player and the team. We can still go sign more people. Would you rather have him signed a 4-year, $120 million contract?
Which was definitely a possibility too.
Exactly. I would rather go longer term, less per year, less money overall, more money to sign other players, more arms, maybe extend your core like Judge, like Torres, like I was going to say Gary Sanchez, but I don't really know, to be honest with you, but you get the point. Yeah. Like it's a good team friendly deal. Everyone relax.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I mean, I think that LeMahieu could have gotten upwards of $25 million a year in a sense, if you wanted to go with a full on really large contract. So the fact that the Yankees were able to nab him for only $3 million more than what he was already getting paid, I think that's a great, great deal for the Yankees.
I agree. And like I said, to now preview the rest of the Yankees offseason, they have to get more pitchers. They need to replace Canley in the bullpen. They need to replace the spots that would have been Tanaka's and Paxton's. I would understand if they want to fill one of those young guys with that role, but you have to get another starting pitcher. You have to get another starting pitcher in free agency or via trade before spring training. Otherwise, I'm not really going to have much big of faith in this rotation because Garrett Cole doesn't pitch every day. So see what happens. But
I think that this Yankees team, I mean, it's hard to ever say that the Yankees aren't a dangerous team, that they're not a dark horse, but
They're not a dark horse. They're a contender in the American League. We're just freaking out over a 60-game season. You forget that in the last two full seasons, they won 100 and 103 games. They're going to be really good next year. There's just holes that they need to fill.
I agree. I mean, I think that this Yankees team, it's always the Yankees. You can't say that the Yankees are a bad team or that you're not expecting much of them because you always are going to get proven wrong. But this Yankees team, like you said, I mean, I think that they're good. They're always going to be good. It's just that there's certain patches that they need to fix. But once they're done with that, I think right now, even with those holes in their team, they're still an American League contender. But I don't know. I feel like
everyone has holes. And like now, like I think the Yankees are better than the Rays again. The Rays let go of Morton and Snell. Mm-hmm. And Glasnow is injury prone. They pull players out of everywhere, but over the course of 162 games, the Yankees are better than the Rays, in my opinion. The Astros are diminished, as we all know. Springer's going to be a Met in a couple weeks, and, they're just tarnished. The White Sox have gotten pretty good, but they don't really have much experience yet. They lost their playoff series last year. So, we'll see what happens. The Yankees still should be favorites in the American League. And anyone who thinks they're not, the Yankees are everyone's new sexy pick to just become a bad team. They haven't had a losing season since 1993. They're not going to be a bad team next year. So everyone just relax. Even before they re-signed DJ, people were saying that. They're just – some people are dumb. They're just not smart.
Yeah.
So
– are there any other points you want to hit on the Yankees before we move on?
No, that's really the only Yankees stuff. I'm just relieved, I guess. But you got to keep the train moving because, you can't just settle here because there's still other pieces that you've lost. In Tanaka and Paxton and Canley and so on and so forth. So yeah, there's arms you need to fill. Get some more pitching because when you have the best lineup in WRC plus in the last 3 years and you haven't won the American League yet, you have to get more pitching. That shows that it's the problem. Get more pitching and they will be fine.
I agree. All right. So now let's switch to the second most recent event. We're going around the horn. We're going to go right now to the gridiron beginning of the NFL offseason. No free agency yet, but the Jets made a very big splash, picking up Robert Saleh as their new head coach for the next, I think it was a 5-year deal. I'm really hoping I'm pronouncing that right. I really don't know.
I think it is Saleh,
whatever. But I think that I was extremely happy to hear this because you know what? The Jets have obviously made some bad moves in the past with their head coach. Anything that you got right now is a step up from Adam Gase. I think that was obvious. Adam Gase is I think that the perfect way to put it, I saw this on Twitter, Robert Saleh is the anti-Adam Gase. I think that he is everything that Adam Gase isn't, which is perfect for this Jets organization. I was extremely happy with his hire because you know what? I think that even though it's not an offensive-minded coach, which is something that we were looking for, it doesn't really matter because the energy that this guy brings.
San Francisco, correct?
Say that again?
Defensive coordinator with San Francisco, is that correct?
But if you look at him on the sidelines in these 49ers games, his energy is absolutely electric. You could tell that he knows how to control players. I saw a thing that KFC Barstool put on his Twitter where he was pretty much talking about like being a good coach and being a leader, that kind of thing. Honestly, like I overall think that this is the best thing that the Jets could have done. I was looking at the Bills offensive coordinator, Brian Daboll. I was looking at Eric Bieniemy as potential coaches, but I think that this is just as good of a pickup. I don't know. I feel like he's going to bring something that the Jets haven't seen since probably Rex Ryan. And you know what? Rex Ryan wasn't perfect. I think that this guy can be a better version of what Rex Ryan was in terms of what he could bring to the table for this team.
And I'll tell you what, I do remember this. I'm about 95% sure that Robert Saleh was on my list when we did that thing of like who you might want to hire. I'm like pretty certain of it. Do you remember?
I think so.
I think he definitely was. And you know, I didn't know much about Robert Saleh at the time. I knew that he was a guy that was going to be looking for head coaching positions, but obviously I follow a lot of Jets fans on Twitter. And I can't help but make this comparison. He seems like a snot-nosed, get-in-your-face, you're-going-to-play-for-me head coach, kind of like Joe Judge, the kind of guy that I'm hoping will turn the Giants organization around after the little rat, complete opposite of Pat Shurmur, who was just not strong-willed, didn't really have an identity, just kind of looked like a wuss. Kind of similar with Gase, Gase was just kind of an idiot, but you can just tell that he's the complete opposite. Saleh is, I don't know much about his football mind. I know that he's the type of guy that it looks like NFL players would want to play for,
exactly,
would want to win for, would lay their body on the line for, so on and so forth. So, we'll just have to see how it goes. The Jets still have a lot of talent problems they need to cover up. They have plenty of problems. As we all know, they've got a lot of holes they need to fill. Darnold will likely be the quarterback next year, so that's interesting to see. And if you're not going to have the first overall pick, I think that's the right thing to do. Ride out his rookie contract, which expires after next season, if I'm correct, right?
Yeah. And look, I think that right now, I saw this yesterday that Adam Schefter tweeted that most likely Darnold is going to be the quarterback going into the season and that they're going to be shopping the second pick, which I think is the smart move.
Shopping it?
Yeah.
Trading down?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I mean, I'd understand that if you can get more first round picks, because don't they already have the 20 something?
So right now the Jets are poised. They have the second pick and the 23rd pick.
Okay.
So they have, I think, 5 picks in the top 90, which is really solid. And I think that right now, going into the draft, I don't know what I want. I don't know what I think the Jets should do, because I don't know if any of the quarterbacks are worth it at number 2. I don't know how great Justin Fields is going to be, or Zach Wilson's going to be, or I don't know. I think that if the Jets were to keep the pick and pick up someone like
an offensive lineman,
Penei Sewell, or even a Devontae Smith. I mean,
I don't think that they're going to take Devontae Smith second overall, dude.
I also don't think that, but you know, it's just a fun thing to think about. But
that would almost be like if the Giants had taken Saquon Barkley second overall 3 years ago. Oh, wait, they did.
Okay. But I think that
I'm being sarcastic, by the way. I don't think they're going to draft a receiver.
I think that something that's going really under the radar for Jets fans is that along with Saleh is coming the 49ers passing game coordinator, Mike LaFleur, younger brother of Packers coach Matt LaFleur. That is such a great pickup, because you know what? He's running a very similar scheme as what Sam Darnold ran as a rookie and what he ran through college. It's the same I think that it's the whole Kyle Shanahan thing. I think that this is going to be a very, very solid thing, because you know what? Looking back, Darnold would have made a lot of sense to go to San Francisco this season, this offseason, because you know what? His talent hasn't really shown too much as a Jet, but I think that he would have thrived in another system with a better offense, a better kind of situation. I think that the fact that this team needs, I mean, Darnold, I don't know what his future holds. I don't know if he is really the answer for the Jets at quarterback. I think that if they give him another year, it's a good sort of, not a test run, but this is kind of like his last straw, where if he's not able to perform this year, he's out, which is fair. I mean, he's had plenty of chances, and obviously the situation hasn't been the best because of Gase and everything around him. But I think that this year, with the Jets, I don't know what I want in terms of draft. I think that for the offseason, it's important that they focus on filling the holes. I think that it's focused on trying to get a wide receiver one, whether that be through the draft or through free agency with someone like an Allen Robinson or a Kenny Galladay or even like a Will Fuller, that kind of thing. Obviously, we have a lot of time ahead of us to talk about this. The Jets offseason just started, but I think that the Saleh hire was a very good start for the track that the Jets should be on.
Yeah. And to go back to your Darnold point, I completely agree. This is the last year of his contract. There's no reason to give up on him yet if you're not going to get Trevor Lawrence. I think that is 100% correct. Yeah, this should be his last chance. If he's not good again, I know it sucks. He's been put into really crappy circumstances a lot of the time. But if he's not good again, it's not worth signing him to a long-term deal. You see the Bears having that dilemma with Trubisky right now, where he's had flashes of brilliance. And I think he's even – Trubisky is more of a meme than Darnold, but he's had his moments, I think, a little bit more than Sam Darnold has, and they're having trouble wondering if they want to extend him and keep him around. So, yeah, it's going to be tough. It's tough, and you're right, the wide receiver one thing. I doubt they draft a wide receiver one at two. I doubt they draft a Smith at two, but if they trade down to, like, four or five and drafted Smith, I wouldn't be surprised. I think they will go after a Robinson, a Galladay, a Fuller, a JJ, Juju maybe. I don't know. Like, I don't know if Juju's staying in Pittsburgh. That's kind of off topic, but yeah, you're right. And there's obviously other holes that need to be filled. I think that the Jets have talent on, they have talent on the defensive side of the ball, but there's still a lot of depth pieces that you'd want to put into there. Their offensive line, I don't know how great the offensive line is, but, I know that last year you got had a good draft there. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting. But Douglas is a good GM so far. Like, or he's proven to have been a good executive in the NFL. And hopefully this time he's got his guy on the field for the head coach.
I've said from the very beginning, in Joe Douglas we trust, even if – this coaching thing didn't turn out to be Saleh, if it was somebody else, I wouldn't have been as angry as I could have been, just because I feel like putting Douglas in charge of this kind of scenario was the perfect thing that the Jets could have done. I think that the Jets putting trust in Douglas is such an important thing. With like owners Chris Johnson, instead of taking over the coaching search, he let Douglas take over and like kind of just said, I have a final say, that kind of thing. Which I think was the perfect thing, because I think that Douglas has a vision. I think that that vision could possibly lead to a much better team in the future. What's going to happen, I don't know, but I'm excited, for to say the least. And you know what, I'm not saying that I think that the Jets are going to be a playoff team next year, by no means, but I think that there's hope again, which is nice, because I haven't been able to say that at all with Adam Gase as the head coach, but there's hope again.
Yeah, and this is a term that I actually make fun of a lot, because the Giants and Mara and Gettleman never shut up about it, but culture is important. They have to build a winning culture. And the Jets have not built a winning culture in 10 years since the Sanchez-Ryan era, and they haven't even had a shred of that hope, really, other than the one Fitzmagic year. But even that team wasn't built for maintained success, as we saw. So it's going to be real interesting to see how this shakes out. Once again, I don't think next year would be the year to expect like a ton from the Jets, but my final point I'll make on it is that this isn't a hire where, like, if you're a Jets fan and you see this hire and you're like, oh no, like, no, that's a bad way to react to it. Like, that's just, this looks good. This looks good. It's good PR. It looks good. So.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's pretty much it that we have for the Jets right now. I mean, I'm excited for Saleh. I'm excited for everything, but we'll see. I mean,
yeah,
it all comes with time. So now let's move from the Jets.
Let's do hockey.
Yeah. So Rangers Islanders, very,
that was ugly,
disappointing game for us as Rangers fans. I'm trying to watch hockey a little more.
Did you watch the whole game? Because if you did, you should have just turned it off after the first
period. I did. I turned it on about 5 minutes into the game.
It was already 2-0, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was not.
Bro, that was ugly, man. I mean, all right. I'll say this about the Rangers. We got to hit on this quick because we do have a lot of basketball to talk about. But the Rangers are the only team in the league with 7 players that are the age 23 or younger. So this is going to be a young team playing in a stacked division. I see a lot of people on Twitter getting really annoyed at Quinn, David Quinn, the head coach. I do agree with them in a lot of aspects. I feel like oftentimes the Rangers look out prepared, out coached. This is the second time. So obviously in August, we waited 5 months for Rangers hockey. They came out flat. They got swept. Now the Rangers come out flat and they're for the first time in 5 months yet again, and they get shellacked at home in the home opener against their arch rivals. It's extremely frustrating. It really is. And now that that's the second time where they've come in and just looked dead, they've looked dead in the water, just flat and bad and just all kinds of gross, just disgraceful hockey. And, you know, I went on a whole rampage about it on Twitter last night about how mad I was that they weren't prepared and they just looked outclassed and they made little mistakes and they didn't do anything right. They all looked too nervous. Hopefully they bounce back tomorrow night. But, yeah, you lose 4-0 in your home opener, especially when it's against the Islanders. That's not fun. So
yeah, and, like, looking at the rookies, looking at Lafreniere and even, like, what's his face? Keandre Miller. Like, they just kind of had rough outings. It wasn't anything special, obviously. Keandre
Miller got benched for, like...
Exactly.
It was weird. Like, the way Quinn handled that, and they were moving the lines around. Kaapo Kakko had some good chances that he just couldn't finish on. They were fanning on the puck. They were turning the puck over in the neutral zone. It was just a mess. It really was. Shesterkin looked horrible to start. He really figured it out. And, like, there's that moment in the third period with the goalie interference, and it's just such a mess of a game. And, like, the camera angle, I don't know what that was. Like, MSG needs to fix that. Like, that was way too high, and it looked stupid. But...
yeah, I wasn't too sure about that. That wasn't something very fun to watch. But nothing about that game was really fun to watch. But like you said, this is a young team. This is going to be a progression. This isn't going to come right away. Success isn't that easy, especially in hockey. I think that this is going to be a fun season regardless. Well, right now, this Rangers team has a lot to learn, a lot to prove. But it's still obviously the first game of the season. We still got time. They play tomorrow, the Islanders again. Hopefully they're able to kind of come back in the sense where they're able to put up a decent fight next game. I think that it's a winnable game. The Islanders had a few separate things. I mean, we let up a very easy goal off a sniper. That was goalie's fault, but I don't know.
Yeah, we can't let in those weak ones. It's a great shot by Barzal, but Shesterkin's got to have that.
Mm-hmm.
And to close the book on the Rangers, it's going to be a long season. They're going to have their ups. They're going to have their downs. I don't really fully expect them to be a playoff team just yet. But I'd like to see them play better than they did last night because that was just really ugly.
I mean, look, it's the first game of some of these guys' young careers. It's the first season. Obviously, there's no fans. But for someone like Lafreniere, there's going to be nerves. And he said it himself that there were nerves that – after a couple shifts, it felt a little better, but he was definitely like shaken up a little bit. It all comes with time. I think that obviously without fans there, there's a big difference, but I don't know.
Yeah, it sucks. It's a crappy loss, but you know, you move forward, you don't turn back. Some weird stuff with Tony D'Angelo went down this morning. We don't really know that much about it. All I know is that he practiced with like the B squad instead of the team. It was weird. Whatever. Tony D'Angelo is a weird dude. But we're going to move on to basketball. We have a couple things we need to talk about. Do you want to do Knicks or Nets first?
Let's go. Okay, so you know what? Let's talk a little bit about the Nets just because
something big happened with the Nets this week. I know you've probably been waiting for it all show. Something big did happen with the Nets this week. We know. We're going to talk about it.
We didn't really focus on the Nets too much since their last playoff run. But the Nets made a big splash this past few days with the acquisition of James Harden from the Rockets, which I think personally was a horrible move. And I'm going to say why.
I know we're biased, but I'm sure we have similar opinions. I want to hear what you think.
I've talked. Sorry. I have talked to Nets fans and they agree. They gave up way too much for James Harden. Mm-hmm. I mean,
you know, I've talked to Nets fans that agree as well.
Four first round picks. Not to mention the fact that you're giving up Caris LeVert, you're giving up Jared Allen, you're giving up four pick swaps as well.
So that's really crazy. That's almost eight picks.
That's basically eight picks. That's how do you allow that to happen for somebody that's how old is James Harden? James Harden's what? 30?
James Harden in the worst conditioning of his life.
31. And he turns 32 in August. You're trading for somebody that's 31 years old. And you know what? You see people like LeBron that are playing up until 36 and are absolutely
dominant. Well, LeBron is the greatest player of all time, and James Harden can't win for...
But this isn't somebody that's going to revitalize
the franchise. No, he's the LeBron James. You're right. And you know what? Let me get into this a little bit here. I've talked to Nets fans. They're upset about Caris LeVert. They're upset about Jared Allen. I'm sure you're excited for the short term, but if you don't win it this year or next year, you are in a heap of trouble for the next decade. You've essentially thrown all your eggs for the whole 2020s into the 2021-2022 basket, and 23 through 30, like, what are you going to do? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how you build back up from this. And, you know, it reminds me a lot of the Garnett-Pierce move, where
That's exactly what I was thinking.
All this just to beat one man, LeBron James. And, you know, we're Knicks fans. I'm of the opinion that LeBron James is the greatest player who ever lived. That's why they build all these super teams against him, because it's just ridiculous. It's all this just to beat him. But anyway, that's besides the point. You have three ball-dominant guys, and people talking about Kyrie, like, playing off-ball with LeBron. Like, he was at his best when he had the ball and was dribbling. And, you know, it's funny. I already really despise Kyrie Irving. He's probably my least favorite player in the league before he was a Brooklyn Net. I think he's a weirdo. I don't really think he cares about the game, and I really think the Knicks dodged a bullet. I really don't think too fondly of that guy. And I thought that he was one of the most overrated point guards in the league when he was playing on the Cavs. I can't believe there was once a time where people thought that he was better than Curry. That just blows my mind, because Steph Curry is an all-time great point guard, and Kyrie Irving is a freak. But this is a guy that said that he wanted his own team when he went to Boston. He didn't want to play second fiddle to LeBron. Well, now he's third fiddle to a snake, you've got three of the worst personalities in the league with a first-year head coach in Brooklyn. How do you think that's going to boil down? Like, I can't help but think that this is going to implode one way or another. They're all going to play together on Saturday. Imagine if they lose that game to Orlando. How funny that would be.
That would be extremely funny.
And obviously we're biased, and, like, we really don't like the Nets.
Well, I mean, look.
We've made that no secret, but this isn't like the big threes of old. Like, Curry, Klay, and Kevin Durant, all those guys have a role. All those guys are not kissy as much, but Curry plays off ball. Klay plays great defense, yada, yada, yada. LeBron, Wade, Chris Bosh, they all had their own roles. These guys are three guys that are very, very similar players with essentially no depth other than Spencer Dinwiddie. Joe Harris is pretty good. TLC is pretty good, but you just lost two big depth guys, and Dinwiddie is not going to play the rest of the year. I don't really know how that's going to hold up against contenders in the East. And I know that they beat the Knicks the other night. You only beat us by seven, but
we'll get into that after. But you know what? This Nets team, I think that this is a complete deja vu situation. This is the same exact thing that happened with Kevin Garnett
five or six years ago.
This is, you're putting all your eggs in one basket, and you're putting every single hope, like, strain of hope that you have on three players that cannot work well together. I mean, Kyrie's been AWOL for the past week just because of everything going on.
And he didn't want to play in the bubble. He refused to play in the bubble.
They take that he should just retire.
He's done nothing in the last two or three years but prove that he's just, like, I don't want to sound rude here, but, like, if he retired, I wouldn't be surprised. It just doesn't seem like he loves the game anymore.
Yeah.
It's very odd. It's very odd. I'm trying to, like, toe the line here. I'm not trying to sound like a complete jerk. And I don't want to sound like I'm not being conscientious of him if he has poor mental health or this, that, and the other thing. But, like, because I don't know. But what I do know is that it looks really bad in the media. It looks really bad for his team. It makes the Nets look bad. And it gives me the outside, because no one's telling me anything, I don't know. It makes me the outsider looking in think, like, wow, Kyrie Irving's a weirdo and he doesn't want to play. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, look, I think that this Nets team is extremely talented. The fact that DeAndre Jordan's the only active center on their roster concerns me, but I think that they have a lot of talent and that if they don't win a championship in the next 2 years, it's going to be all for nothing.
I agree.
As simple as that. I mean,
like, listen, like I said, if Kyrie's not in the league in 2 years, I wouldn't be surprised. I could see him being one of those guys that wants to retire early. In fact, I think he said that before.
Wouldn't be surprised at all.
What?
Wouldn't be surprised at all.
Yeah. Kevin Durant, he's a beast. He's a top three player in the league. But we all know that he's gotten in. He had his problems with Russell Westbrook. He had his problems with Draymond Green. He's had his problems on two previous teams. That's why he left twice. Big time ego guy. Feelings get hurt really easily. James Harden. We all know the narrative with James Harden. We all know that he was toxic in Houston and that the exit wasn't pretty. I think this team could work if they were all healthy and all bought into the program, but I just don't know how realistic that is, especially with everything they gave away for Harden.
How about the Rockets, man? Rockets getting 3 first-round picks, 4 first-round pick swaps, picking up someone like Victor Oladipo in that 3-team trade. Mm-hmm. I think that they've put themselves in a great spot for the future, really similar to what the Thunder did with the Paul George trade. I think that they have very good potential, especially with the way that John Wall's been playing. I mean, if he could stay healthy, that team's going
solid. If DeMarcus Cousins can start to figure it out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and like, I don't want to make this sound like it's like a horrible, horrible move for the Nets, because it shows that they're in win now mode. It shows that they want to win a championship, and they definitely can, but I see the negatives too. And if you don't see the negatives, you're blind to it. You know, like, you can be happy that you just got another top 15 player in the league, top 10 player in the league. I'll say that. But, we don't know how Kyrie feels about this. The guy that said he wanted his own team teams up with KD. Now they get James Harden in there. These guys are very similar players. Like, well, how's that offense going to work? Dribble, 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 pass. Dribble, 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 pass. Dribble, dribble, shot. Every single time. Look, I don't know. Who plays defense on that team?
Like, nobody.
Is Joe Harris a good defender?
I don't know. I don't think so. From what his
And they got rid of Jared Allen. DeAndre Jordan's not the best defensive center anymore.
Also, like, 34.
Yeah, I mean.
Look, this Nets team just went from a win now mode to an absolute win
now. Like, now you have to win or you're screwed.
No matter what, you screwed up your future, so you might as well get something out of it.
Yes, I agree.
Crazy. Crazy, crazy. But you know what? You know what's even crazier?
What?
Just how absolutely incredible the Knicks have been playing recently.
The Knicks have lost 4 in a row.
Lost 4 in a row. Since the last time we talked about them being 5-3, very high hopes, everything's come crashing down.
Yeah, no, the Knicks have played like crap.
The Knicks have played like the Knicks.
Yeah, the Knicks are back. Woo. Austin Rivers has been saying these things like, look, we're a good team, we'll figure it out. Prove that to me tonight, beat Cleveland. The defense has been terrible. RJ Barrett can't shoot. He's played terrible. Julius Randle's been a bright spot. get Elfrid Payton as far away from Madison Square Garden as possible.
Yes.
You know how much better RJ Barrett plays, how much better Mitchell Robinson plays when Emmanuel Quickley, who's not perfect, is on the floor?
Mm-hmm.
They play a lot better. And I don't know if it's the solution is him starting every game, but like, should be on the court more than Elfrid Payton. Elfrid Payton is just detrimental at this point.
I agree. I think that Elfrid Payton had very okay stats to start the season. Any hope or glimmer of hope that he brought to the Knicks is now gone. Far, far gone. But, yeah, just get him out. Get him away. The Knicks have enough guards to potentially be, like, completely phase him out of the lineup, especially when Alec Burks comes back. Obi Toppin is back from the injury, only played a minute against the Nets. He should be getting a little more playing time.
I noticed he was only in at the end of that first quarter, right?
Yeah. He only came in for, like, less than a minute. It was just kind of, like, precautionary things. And, you don't want to throw him in there, especially against the Nets. It's not worth it. If he's not completely healthy, let him rest and hope that over this next week, he's able to get back to normal 100%.
Yeah, and I want to see something out of him. And I want Alec Burks to get healthy. Reggie Bullock was kind of just meh for us. I'd rather him be healthy. But, like, there's just a couple guys, like, listen, like, I'm really annoyed with RJ Barrett. He played okay, and he played good in the second half against the Nets. But overall, he's really making me mad, dude. He got to play better than that.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I mean, RJ Barrett hasn't really shown why the Knicks picked him with their second pick last year, or mm-hmm. third pick, whatever.
Right.
Yeah, no, there just hasn't been that sort of consistency that we've seen from him yet. I don't think it's something to be completely concerned about yet, but it's something to definitely, like, look for. It's worth noting. I want to see him succeed. I mean, all Knicks fans want to see RJ succeed, but it just doesn't seem like that's the case as of right now. And it's a little scary.
Yeah. It's concerning for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, it's easier said than done. Like, you want him to play better, obviously, but dude, it's just, yeah, it is concerning. That's mm-hmm. the best way to put it. Like, he's just got to play better than that.
And so, you know, we've got a full season ahead of us. It'll be very fun.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. It definitely won't be fun, but we'll see.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Like, that's just really the only way you can look at it is that, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Like, I'm down in the dumps about the Knicks again. You know what I mean? Like, I wish I didn't have to be.
Yeah.
I was excited after the 5-3 start. And yeah, there's potential there, but you lose 4 games in a row, it's hard to be encouraged.
I agree.
So, yeah, we'll see what happens. But I don't know. We covered a lot in this episode. I think that's about it, right?
Yeah, so we had to go around the horn. We've had all 4 major sports coming up. There's definitely going to be some sort of news this week for at least most of the teams, whether that be the Rangers playing, maybe something new with the Mets signing or the Yankees signing, Knicks playing. Hopefully they'll play a little better this week. Same thing.
The Bills will win. New York team in the AFC championship.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, they're not a real New York team, but.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Hey, Deshaun Watson just tweeted out before anything.
I saw like the 2 to a 10 or something.
I was on 2, then I took it to a 10. And
what does that even mean?
Well, DeAndre Hopkins said that. Oh, I'm sorry. One source said this week, this is from Adam Schefter, that after Houston traded wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins last offseason, Deshaun Watson's anger level was a 2. This time it's a 10. So him tweeting that just kind of shows that he's also not happy.
Man, let the purge continue of Houston sports. We took Garrett Cole. We took James Harden. We'll take Deshaun Watson. Come to the Jets or the Giants, baby. Come
to the Jets.
Come home.
He was in Jersey last night. That's all I'm saying. Deshaun Watson is not going to become a New York Jet. If he does, I'll do something stupid because that's not happening.
Yeah, you're right. I don't think it's happening either.
Okay, well, that's about it for this episode. Just plug our socials real quick if you want to follow the pod. It's at Big Apple Sports Media on Instagram and TikTok, at Big Apple SP Media on Twitter. For me, I'm Anthony Evangelista7 on Instagram, Anthony EV7 on Twitter. What about you?
As always, on Instagram and Twitter, I'm at Kyle Keegan, but the L is a 1. That's Kyle1 E Keegan on Instagram and Twitter if you want to follow me.
That's about it for this episode. We'll hopefully have some interesting news for the next one.
Yeah, hopefully we'll get some good stuff over the weekend. So
we'll see you guys next time.
Thanks, guys.